Look on the passage that was read and the title of the study that we will undertake today comes in the form of God's question to Adam and Eve. Where art thou? Really, where are you? You can also look on this subject in respect to God's call to sinners. God's call to sinners. The Almighty God in His holiness and in His justice could have condemned sinners, that is Adam and Eve, to everlasting darkness and punishment for their sins, as He did to angels. When angels sin against the Almighty God, they were thrown out of heaven and condemned hopelessly to everlasting punishment. All the reason God has made an exception when it comes to man, I don't know. I don't know all the reasons. Why did He not do the same thing to Adam and Eve? What we do know that in God's abundant mercy and grace, God chose to be the seeker. Of men and women, and came down to Eden, asking Adam and Eve, where are you? God's question call to Adam and Eve is a question call to all sinners. I repeat. You see, the Bible says that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Adam and Eve died thousands of years ago. But for some reason, the Almighty God wanted this Christian call to remain current. It is a Christian call to all sinners. And it still rings out today. in the ears of every sinner who would listen to God's word. The Almighty God is asking and calling, where are you? When men and women are not in right relationship with God or with Jesus Christ, you are at the wrong place. Now that is a fact. This is why throughout the Bible, well, the New Testament, you find the Bible talks a lot about those who are in Christ. And it speaks a lot about those who are outside us. And when we are not in Jesus Christ, when we are not in proper relationship with God, when we are not in a obedient fellowship with God, we are in fact at the wrong place. In most cases, it's not the wrong place geographically, but it's at the wrong place in relationship to your status with God. So why? There are a lot of times we are at the wrong place geographically, even for God. But in this case, it is more that we are at a wrong place in respect to our relationship with the Almighty God. This is why Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. Where are thou? Let us hear Ezekiel 33:11.
Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God.
As I live, saith the Lord God.
I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way.
Now turn. You see, that the wicked, as I've often explained, this passage in the past gave me reason to wonder. No more so, of course. Because I've always thought that the ungodly, the wicked, offend God regularly. And that the Almighty God should feel good when the ungodly man passed away, because he would no more offend God. But the Almighty God's love is so deep and profound. And the Almighty God is much more aware of what it means for a man or a woman to die in sin. This is why God has no comfort or pleasure when an ungodly man or woman dies in his or her sin. But what he said there, that he should do what?
I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live.
That is God's desire. That the ungodly, the disobedient man or woman turns from his ways and live.
Turn ye.
Turn you.
Turn you from your evil ways.
Turn you from your evil ways.
For why will he die?
Why will you die,
O house of Israel?
O house of Israel. It is turning from one way off life to God's way of life. When the Almighty God called to Adam and Eve, it was not so much a call in respect to where are you geographically. The Almighty God knew exactly where they were. But the Almighty God wanted to call to their attention the fact that they were hiding because something was wrong. God's call, where are you? Is the call of divine justice, which cannot overlook sin. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that God is holy, righteous, and just. God cannot treat sin with what we would call a Platonic attitude. Well, it doesn't make any big difference. Sin always makes a big difference to God. Look at Jesus at Calvary. That is all about, that sin makes all the difference to God. Don't ever tell yourself that your sin is not such a big sin and it doesn't matter. It does matter. It always matters to God. And the reason that we look at sin so lightly sometimes, it's because of our own sinfulness and darkness. Sin makes all the difference to God. The justice and the holiness of God, mighty God, to overlook sin indefinitely. So the call was a call of divine justice, which cannot indefinitely overlook sin. The call was the call of, which grieves over the sinner. The Almighty, well, we have just read it. In the book of Ezekiel 33 and verse 11. God is saying to the sinner, I'm grieving over you. The Almighty God is saying to the sinner, I do not want you to die in your sin. The Almighty God is saying to the sinner, it's unthinkable. It's a most heinous situation to die in your sin. So the Almighty God asks the sinner to turn from his sin. That's what the New Testament calls repentance. So when the Almighty God called, it was a call of divine sorrow which grieves over this sinner. It was also a call of divine love, which offers redemption and forgiveness for sin. When the Almighty God called, it was this divine love and grace which makes the Almighty God even before Adam's sin, even before the world was created, even before man was created, it was this love and grace of God that made the Almighty God make preparation and provision for man's redemption. Even before man was created, God was making. I assume that most of us know, if not all of us, God knew that man would sin before man sinned. That's right. When the Almighty God called to Adam, it was a call of divine love and grace, which offers redemption and forgiveness for sin. For God so loved the world. May I? It is not the inanimate world. It is not the dead bricks and blocks and stone that God loves. It's the world of humanity. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world. The physical world. But the love which is under consideration in John 3 verse 6 is God's love for man. How do I know? He did not give his only begotten son to die for the tree. He did not give his only begotten son to die for the bricks and the building. In fact, the Bible even tells us that Jesus Christ didn't die for angel. It was for man. God's love for man. The Almighty God's attitude in respect to Adam here is and I'm going to explain in a few seconds, but let me repeat what we see. May I? God reaching out to sinner instead of immediately condemning them to eternal torment. Because sin calls for that. But instead, we see God reaching out. This is typical of God. This is characteristic of God. Notice with me. When Adam and Eve sinned, it was not Adam and Eve that sought for God. It was God. In fact, they ran and hid. May I? Did you know that at no time did they need God more than when they sinned? But instead of seeking him, they ran. It was God who sought Adam when sin put him in trouble. Did you know that this has always been the order? Brother Mitchell, it has always been that when man sin and need most to run to and see God, man run from God. And God always come seeking. Thank God for the God that He is. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 11, Psalms 14, 2 and 3. Let us look on some instances. And God's response. Read.
There is none that understandeth.
There is none that understandeth.
There is none that speaketh after God.
Wait. Are we there? What did that you have just read said, brother? There is none that speaketh
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
Are we all there? We are not true. Here the Almighty God Himself, through His inspired writer, is telling us that the effort that man should put out in seeking God, there is nobody who does that. Can you believe it? The verse finished off?
That was the end of verse 11.
Yes, let us hear Psalms 14.
The Lord looked down from heaven upon the...
What point are we on? We are on the point that when Adam and Eve sinned, and instead of turning to God for forgiveness and seeking help, they ran from God. But the gracious, merciful God came seeking. I said that is typical and characteristic of the Almighty God. And I'm just giving a few examples here. Let us hear Psalms 14, verse 1 and 3.
The Lord looked down from heaven.
God looks down from heaven
upon the children of men.
Upon us, the children of men.
To see if there were any that did understand and see God.
Wait. Yes. The Almighty God had a specific reason for looking down. His specific purpose was to see what, brother?
If there were any that did understand,
that understood
and seek God.
And sought God. What did he find out? I'm interested.
They are all gone aside.
Y'all hear that? God found out that really there is none. They're all gone aside. That means they're straight. Read.
They are all together become filthy.
They're all together become what?
Filthy.
What?
Filthy.
And you think you are so holy. You think you are so righteous and so pure. The Almighty God says, when we have done all the things that are commanded to us, we should remember and we should say that we are what? Unprofitable servants. That is when you know we are operating spiritually on all eight cylinders. We should never even think in patting ourselves and saying that God, you need to give me tell ourselves that we are still spiritually unprofitable. So when God looks down from heaven to earth with the specific reason in assessing if man understands, I'm tempted to go in understanding what? Among other things, the purpose for which we were created, our responsibility to God, our composition, there is part of God, our spiritual responsibility. None really understand. And God had another purpose, and that was to see if any seek him. But when God looked on his face, he said, all have gone astray.
Are all together become filthy.
And all have become filthy.
There is
that
none.
Is spiritually and morally filthy. And what?
There is none that doeth good. No, not one.
That's God's verdict. That's not Paul. That's not David's. It is God's. So, it has always been the Almighty God that does the seeking. It was God who sought out and caught Abraham while Abraham worshipped. That's right. God is always seeking sinner. It was God who sought Jacob Bethel. The word Jacob means a supplanter. I think you would better understand the word if I say a brain worker. That's right. That's what Jacob means. A brain worker. One who loves to use his brain to get what he wanted from others. So much so that the mighty God decided that he's going to use Jacob in a mighty and a profound way that has implication for our salvation. It had implication for the Savior being born on this earth. God to use Jacob. But the Almighty God couldn't use Jacob while he was a brain worker. Loved to trick people to get what he wanted. So, Jacob's first real personal encounter with God. In fact, Jacob was running away. That's right. He was going to Paddan Aram, somewhere about there, running from his father's Isaac. In fact, really, it was from his brother. That's right. He was brave and got his brother's legacy. That's right. All the inheritance, in fact, the most important part of the inheritance. Because you see, the older brother usually takes the father's place in the wealth that left. It was the older brother who takes control. That's the way it has been in the Old Testament system. And with his mother, she was tricky too. Because she had favoritism, parents, that's not good. And sometimes, even though you recognize that a particular son or a particular daughter have some ways that you cherish, you must not let the others know. Truly. But in this case, Jacob's mother, as we would say, make up with him. And say, you know, I want you to be the one who inherit. And they carry through. And when all of this played out, may I? I keep asking the church to always think of the implication of things. Very important. I've observed in society today, there are so many instances where people do not think of the final outcome of decision that they make. Important that we learn to do that. In the home, are you a husband that cannot control your emotion or temper? So any little things goes wrong, you are ready to tell your wife some low down things? Always think of the implication. Because a lot of times when you don't think of the implication that, you know, if I tell my wife that, I am giving her the license to tell me the same thing. You get the point? If I tell my son or my daughter that, we must learn to think of when a thing plays out, we must always think of the implication. And Jacob's mother, what was her name again? Not Rebecca. Rachel. There are so many of them, brother. That's right. Rachel. She should have thought that her older son going to be angered over the decision. And that's exactly what happened. And Jacob was afraid that there would be bloodshed in the home. And the father too. Asked him to run away. Are we there? Remember where we are, you know. Is that God is always seeking man. In fact, let us read a little of this. Very important that it was God. It was God who sought Jacob at Bethel. This was Jacob's first personal encounter with God. And this is important. Yes, but I want to show you here. Look at Genesis chapter 28. Pick me up at verse 10. Verse 10.
And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran.
That's where he's going, to his uncle. Read.
And he alighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night.
He was tired. Because right out there in the open, he stopped to rest. To rest all night.
Because the sun was set.
The sun was set.
And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows.
You know, those were practical times. He took. You know, I'm thinking how soft we are. We are spoiled. Our pillow has to be soft and. Jacob tired. He just took stone. The man didn't even get some tree leaves. Stone to be his pillow. Read.
And lay down in that place to sleep.
And lay down in that place to sleep.
And he dreamed.
And he dreamed.
And behold, a ladder set up on the earth. and the top of it reached to heaven.
You got it? A ladder that stretched from earth to heaven. It's important that you listen and learn. I'm sorry we cannot take it verse by verse through. Step down now, brother, to verse 13.
And behold, the Lord stood above it and said,
Jacob is having his first encounter with the Almighty God. God stood above the ladder.
I am the Lord God of Abraham.
I am the Lord God of Abraham.
Thy father.
Thy father.
And the God of Isaac.
And the God of Isaac.
The land whereon thou liest.
Where you are lying down.
To thee will I give it.
I'm going to give it to you. Remember, it was first promised to Abraham. Read on.
And to thy seed.
And to your seed. Wait. The Almighty God is thinking about Jesus Christ. Are we all here? But he's thinking of the people he's going to use to bring Jesus Christ to earth. Read on, brother.
And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth.
Step down now to verse 16.
And Jacob awaked out of his sleep.
Jacob awaked out of his
sleep.
Sleep.
And said,
and say,
surely the Lord is in this place.
Surely the Lord is in this place.
And I knew it not.
And that's the way it is in so many cases. Sometimes men and women do not understand that the church is the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about man-made religious institutions. The Bible tells me plainly so many places that Jesus Christ has built one true church. And a lot of time men do not recognize that Christ is in the church. The church is a part of Him. And when we become members, we are a part of Christ. The Bible talks about bone of His bone, huh? Flesh of His flesh. And somebody said, Brother Mitchell, I thought that was talk about Adam and Eve. No, I'm talking of the passage in, I think, Ephesians, talking about us, the church, and Jesus Christ. Read on, brother.
Surely the Lord is in this place.
Surely the Lord is in this place.
And I knew it not.
And I didn't know it.
And he was afraid.
He was rightly so, brother. Well, when you are in the presence of God, as Jacob was, we need to have reverence. Are we there? People in worship and them have them cell phone and do all type of foolishness. Are we there? People in worship and they forget that in a very special way they are before the Almighty God. Are we there? Yes, the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was
afraid.
And said,
how dreadful is this place?
How full of dread. Brothers and sisters, don't let the Rasta fool you. He's not dread. Truly. Truly, God is truly dreadful, not the Rastafarian. Read, brother.
This is none other. But the house of God.
Thank God for that, brother. This is none other but the house of God. Huh?
And this is the gate of heaven.
Of heaven, huh? Is that right? Do you know that is a fact? Wait. Did you know that this is a fact? That the house of God is the gate of heaven? Did you know there is no way this side of the cross of Jesus Christ that men and women can enter heaven without going through the church? Put it another way, Brother Mitchell. If we are going to be saved and have eternal peace with God, we must first find the church. It is, in fact, the gate of heaven. This when God revealed this to Jacob, this was thousands of years before Jesus Christ. This is none other but the house of God. And the house of God is the gate of heaven. Read on, brother.
And Jacob rose up early in the morning.
Jacob rose up early in the morning.
And took the stone that he had put for his pillows.
For his
pillows.
Pillows.
And set it
it's
up.
Pluralized.
Pure, yes.
Yes, it's pillar.
And set it up for a pillar.
And set it up for a
pillar.
A pillar. You know, I like the play on words here. Because they do not really mean the same thing. And notice they're spelt differently. Oh, Lord have mercy. He used the stone for his pillow to rest his head on. But then he used the stone and make a pillar. Huh? Read on.
And poured oil upon the top of it.
That is sacrificing. Huh? It like it becomes an altar, a place where you offer sacrifice. Read on.
And he called the name of the place Bethel.
For he called the name of the place Bethel. B-T-H-E-L. Bethel. Wait, brother. The word Bethel means.
But the name of that city was called Luz.
Yes, from before it was called Luz. Now it is the house of God. That's what the word Bethel means. Are we all there? Now, notice here. In fact, read it. Run with me to the passage of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13 following. Verse 14, these things write I unto thee.
These things write I unto
thee. What verse are you reading?
Verse 14.
Yes, verse 14. Watch here now. We are still on the subject. Notice, Jacob was dealing with this some 2,000 more years before Jesus Christ. That it was revealed to Jacob that the house of God would be the gate of heaven. Watch here. Watch here. Are you watching? The passage reveals that the house of God is the place where man encounter the Almighty God. Are we there? And that the house of God is not only the house of God as such, it is the gate of heaven. But let us hear some more about the house of God. These things write.
These things write.
I unto thee, hoping to come
unto thee shortly.
Shortly, but if I tarry,
long
that thou mayest know
how thou
art to behave thyself, or how men are to behave themselves
in the house of God.
Wait, brother. We are going to be told some more about the house of God. How men are to behave themselves, as the American Standard Version says, in the house of God.
Which is the church of the living God.
Which is the church of the living God. Wait. So when Jacob talked about the house of God, that did not become a reality until Jesus Christ came and built his church. The house of God
Which is the church of the living God.
The church of the living God.
The pillar.
Wait. Huh? It is what?
The pillar.
Notice, not the pillar. It is the pillar. Read.
And ground of the truth.
The word ground there is the word territory. That is the church of Christ. Is not only the mainstay or the upholder of God's truth. It is the place where you are going to find God's truth if you want it. How important is the truth? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Where do we find the truth? In the house of God.
Amen.
Why? Because that's where Christ left it, in his house, his church. That's a fact. The passage the brothers just read is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 following. And this is matching up, concurring with what God revealed to Jacob thousands of years ago. But there's something else I need to point out here. Are we there? Where did Jacob encounter God? Bethel. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that sinners today can meet Christ, encounter Christ, no other place but through the church? I'm permitting. May I explain something? When you hear men and women talking about, me no have to go to any church to serve God or to be saved. Well, in a sense, they are right. Because you definitely don't have to go to any church. That's right. But you must go to the church. That's right. And there is no way around that. The church is the pillar. And it is the territory or the ground or the place where divine truth is to be found. Not by accident. That's the way God fixed it. If you are going to encounter God in a positive way, you have to find the church. Because you need the truth. And the truth is in the church. Are we there? It had to be at Bethel. While I wrap up, just read half of my lesson, but time has gone. We are talking about the fact it was not Adam who sought God, but God who sought Adam. Huh? We spoke the fact that it has always been so when man sinned. We pointed out it was God who sought Abraham, while Abraham was an idolatrous worshipper. We have just left off looking at how Jacob had his first encounter with the Almighty God at Bethel, the house of God. But not only Jacob. God was seeking Jacob. But not only Jacob, Moses, while a fugitive in Midian, the Almighty God at the burning bush was seeking Moses. Are we there? Jesus Christ was the one who sought the apostle while they were fishers of fish. Yes. And after that, Jesus Christ come to let men and women know that he's still seeking them. When he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where art thou? Is a call, a question call from the Almighty God to sinners. May I encourage you as we wrap up, don't play hard to find. Where art thou, sinner? And that question call from the Almighty God to sinner is saying, you are at the wrong place. If you are not in a right relationship with God, you are at the wrong place. Turn to Jesus Christ. Why should you die in your sin? Ezekiel asks in chapter 33 and verse 11. Don't play hard to find. Please. In fact, don't even play hide and seek. Please. Once you are exposed to listen like this, where you realize that God is the seeker of men, and that He might just have brought you here today to listen to this message, that God is seeking and calling you to let you know if you are not in a right relationship with Him. That is, if your sins have not been cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ, then you need to respond to Jesus' invitation. Come after Him. To die in your sin, there is nothing worse. Thank God for the God that He is. It is madness and it is folly to try to hide and run and walk away from God. As the brother prepares his invitation, I share with you Mr. John Babson. He was an old war man in my district. Went to World War II. Man full of common sense. His son, who died about 2 years ago, and myself, his son was little older than I am. We grew up together as very close friends. Mr. John Badsu was the man who baked bread. He was one of the cooks in the last World War, traveled to Europe, and so he utilized his skill in baking. He would bake bread and supply the shop down places like Juicy Beef Patty, Clarendon Park, and going up Porous. But on this occasion, he told his son Neville that he should be in by certain time at the night. At that time, Neville probably was about 14, 15. I was about 12, 13. That he should be in by certain time of the night. But you know, no one again, like once a month or once every 2 months, there would be a dance in my district. And as little boy, we have to go. And we would open the touch and sneak in. And Mr. Badson knew that Neville was there. That's the last person Neville expect at the dance, because Mr. Badson is a respected man. He doesn't go to dance. And while as a little boy, Neville inside and I jump up his father came. We are talking about don't play hide and seek with God. Neville inside enjoy himself among Mr. Badson. Put on a sharp pants. Truly. And enter the dance, and just like everybody, I jump up, him I jump up, and I jump up. And when him see him son, him grab him. Neville almost fainted to death. And what his father was saying, you can't hide from me. I'm much older than you, and I'm smarter than you. I beg you, don't play hide and seek with God. You can't hide from God. As the man says, come out with your hands up. You need God. But you know what is encouraging? God is seeking us. God took the initiative. All he asks is that we reciprocate. We return the effort. He's seeking us. Let us seek him. Today, God brought you here to let you understand that sin is your worst enemy. And that when the Almighty God called Adam, where are you? It was not so much that God was wondering, where in the world is this man and his wife? God knew where they were. The Almighty God wanted to accent for them the fact that relationship is not right. That's why they were hiding. May I? At that time, the person Adam and Eve most want to run to was God. Today, the person you most want to run to is Jesus Christ. Christ has come as we stand.